Hello, welcome to Reflections on the Scriptures. My name is Murray Shanks. Now, this is the fourth week in our series of messages where we're looking at what it means to be part of our church, Foster Baptist Church. In the first week, we spoke about how we are a family. We operate as a family and we relate to each other as brothers and sisters. We've been brought into the family of God through faith. That is, we have been brought into the family of God through our decision to simply trust Him. We talked about how God created us in order to love us, and that as we individually respond to His love, that we would then enjoy a personal relationship with Him. I then spoke to you about how the benefits of being a Christian. God gives us a clear conscience, an eternal life of peace and security. He helps us in our weakness, giving us confidence, purpose, power, strength, and fulfillment. Then in the second week, we spoke about how we believe a great commitment to the great commandment and the great commission will grow a great church. Our vision being to provide to our ever-growing and diversified community a church that is a real and relevant life-giving model of Christ, empowered by the Spirit to free, transform, and impassion lives, impacting our world for the kingdom of God. I then work through our values. What are the values that will shape our decisions, our strategy, and our ministries? Faith and optimism, number one. Number two, prayer. Then evangelism, outreach, sound Bible teaching, then the application of Scripture, authentic worship, an attitude of grace and acceptance, a community of love, godly stewardship of resources, relevance, excellence, a willingness to grow and change as the Spirit of God leads. And then finally, we talked about leadership, the value we place on leadership. Then last week, we worked through our essential and non-essential beliefs. Remember, with essential beliefs, we seek to find unity. With non-essential beliefs, we have liberty. And in all beliefs, we show charity. Beliefs are not worth much unless they're translated into action. Do you agree? Well, based on what the Bible teaches about these essential beliefs, we feel very strongly about the following four practices or ways of living as we seek to model our life after Christ. These four are not the only things we do. For instance, we practice evangelism. We reach out with the good news about Jesus to others. We practice baptism. We celebrate and remember the Lord's Supper regularly, but I'll speak about them separately. I guess we could call this our habits, or our practice, or our lifestyle statement. So the first practice that we encourage and we see great value in is Bible reading. Since we believe that God's Word is the only completely reliable and truthful authority, we accept the Bible as our manual for living. Our first question when faced with the decision is, what does the Bible say about this issue? You know, for many people today, the Bible is the last place they would look. Their first port of call will be family and friends, social media, and particularly people on social media who have large followings. That is, millions of people who follow their online commentary, what they promote, what and who they cancel and or endorse. We call these people today influencers because that is exactly what they do. They influence the attitudes and behavior of millions of people. Portuguese footballer Cristiano Ronaldo, for example, he has just under 900 million followers on social media. Just think about that. The population of Australia is less than 30 million. He has 900 million followers, whereas Taylor Swift has about 534 million people who follow what she has to say on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, etc. As followers of Jesus, we don't see the world that way. We highly esteem the Word of God, and we acknowledge that the Holy Spirit is our guide and the one who will influence the direction of our lives. Remember that verse I quoted last week from Paul's letter to Timothy? This is 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. The whole Bible was given to us by inspiration from God and is useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and helps us to do what is right. How can we be Jesus' disciples, his apprentices, if we don't spend time in his word? How can we be his apprentices if we don't truly believe that Jesus is the smartest person who's ever lived? If we don't truly believe that his knowledge and wisdom is infinite? The real question is, do we really believe that Jesus knows more about everything than anyone who's ever lived? Now, the Bible speaks of his word as being like bread, daily bread. As those who seek to learn from him the way he would have us live, we need to feed on this bread daily. And we need to feed on all of Scripture, not just our favourite passages. We need a full and complete diet, and we need to be really intentional about this daily practice. In other words, we make room for reading the Bible in our busy schedule. Flowing from our love of Scripture and the fact that we each can access the Scripture for ourselves, remember this has not always been the case, we also practice the autonomy of the local church. In his letter to the Colossians, Paul says, this is Colossians 1:18, and he's talking about Christ, and he, Christ, is the head of the body, the church. Christ is the head of our church. We are not led by any one person, group, or religious organization. As a Baptist church, we don't have a pope or bishops. While recognizing the value of associating and cooperating with other groups of Christians, as Baptist churches, we believe each local church should be self-governing, yet interdependent with other churches and our denomination. Each congregation determines its own strategy, its structure, and its style. The reason we believe and practice the autonomy of the local church is because we also believe in the priesthood of every believer. This is a very important belief and practice because it will dramatically shape the way that we live and relate to others. In the book of Revelation, we read, Christ loves us, and by his death, he has freed us from our sins and made us a kingdom of priests to serve God. That's Revelation 1:6. And then the Apostle Peter said to other followers of Jesus, listen to this, he said, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You no longer need a priest. You no longer need a priest to get to God, for you are a priest. You know, the Bible teaches that every Christian is called to full-time Christian service, regardless of his or her vocation. Here at Foster Baptist, we practice the truth that every believer is a minister by encouraging every member to find a place of service and ministry. Every believer has direct access to God through prayer and Bible reading. Every believer is vital to the ministry of our church. Of course, this means that the vast majority of our ministry as a kingdom of priests will happen external to the direct ministries of our church. Most of what we do as the body of Christ will happen in your family setting, in your street, amongst your direct neighbours and friends. It will flow out into places like Kullaroo, where I know a number of you care for and visit people. It will happen when you cut someone's hair or fix their car, or help them move house. Most of it happens around food, a cup of coffee or a shared meal. This is why our fellowship time each week after the service is so important in the life of our church. You see, what is really happening is that you are being present to the other person, giving them your attention, your care and concern, simply loving them in the name of Jesus. As you do that, you are being a priest to them. This is what's meant by the priesthood of all believers. We are a kingdom of priests. Okay, so we have the priesthood of all believers, the authority of Scripture, and the autonomy of each local church, which it sounds really great. However, it does come with responsibility and blessing. Part of that responsibility and the resulting blessing is financial. As we're talking about what it means to be part of Foster Baptist Church, I need to make it clear to you that we don't have funding coming down to us somehow from the Baptist denomination. You know, over the years, I've found that some people think that's how it works. Each local Baptist church stands alone with God, simply trusting that he will provide the financial resources necessary. We encourage and practice tithing, that is giving a tenth of what the Lord blesses us with back to our local church. Now, please don't hear me saying to you, if you come to this church, you have to tithe. That's between you and God. In the past, I've had people leave the church because I've taught on this issue. I don't want anyone to leave the church, but it is my responsibility to communicate to you what we believe the scriptures teach us about this practice so that you can make up your own mind on this issue. So having said that, let me quickly give you some reasons for this. And I know that I spoke with you about giving back in June of 2022, so not that long ago, about 18 months. You know, some denominations talk about giving every week. We talk about it about every 3 years. First reason why we should tithe is very straightforward. Number one is because God commands it. It says in Leviticus 27, a tithe of all you produce is the Lord's, and it is holy. The entire tithe of the herd and flock, every tenth animal that passes under the shepherd's rod will be holy to the Lord. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? A tenth of all you produce is the Lord's, and it is holy. Holy means set apart or separate. I find it helpful to know that. I think that actually gives me some clarity, gives some clarity to the way I think about the money that's been entrusted to me. There is part of it which is separate from the rest. That is, it is holy. So the first reason is simply because God commands it in the Old Testament law. Now, before you start thinking, hang on, there's lots of parts in the Old Testament law that we don't practice today. I mean, rules about pots and pans and clothing and hairstyles, and didn't Jesus do away with all of that? Let me remind you that Jesus also commended tithing. The thing is, we can get a distorted view of tithing, which is equally wrong. In the New Testament, in the book of Matthew, Jesus confronted the Pharisees about their obsession with tithing, saying how terrible it will be for you teachers of the law and you Pharisees, hypocrites. For you're careful to tithe even the tiniest part of your income, but you ignore the important things of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but you should not leave undone the more important things. It seems that tithing was the only thing Jesus commended the Pharisees for doing. Unfortunately, they were pedantic about it. They tithed even down to the herbs that grew in their garden. Jesus made a joke of it, saying to them, "You blind guides, you strain out a gnat, but swallow a camel." You're concerned about tiny details in the law, yet your attitude causes you to miss some other really important issues, big issues like justice, mercy, and faith. You see, they completely missed the point of tithing. They just didn't understand what it was all about. And we can do the same thing. The purpose of tithing is made very clear in the scriptures. And it's not because God needs your money. God doesn't need anything. And he certainly doesn't need you to support him financially. Tithing is actually for you. You are called to tithe for your own benefit. So that's the third reason we should tithe. Because tithing shows that God has first place in my life. Have a look at what it says in the book of Deuteronomy. Eat the tithe of your grain, it says in Deuteronomy 14, verse 23, it says, eat the tithe of your grain, new wine and oil, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks, in the presence of the Lord your God at the place he will choose as a dwelling for his name, so that you may learn to revere the Lord your God always. So the ancient Israelites took their offering to the tabernacle. It was offered to the Lord as a sacrifice. But the people then had a feast in the presence of the Lord. So there is this sense that our tithe comes back to us directly as a blessing. The purpose of tithing is to teach me to put God first in my life. It reminds me that everything I have was given to me by God. It expresses my gratitude to God for helping me to earn an income. On the other hand, when we don't tithe, and I have to say I always find this verse quite confronting, God says you are using money that rightfully belongs to him, and that is stealing. Have a careful look at this passage from Malachi 3. See, tithing, refusing to tithe, is stealing from God. Malachi 3 verse 8, God said, "Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me, but you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings," replied the Lord. "Bring your whole tithe to my house." I don't know about you, but I find that a pretty compelling reason to take seriously the call to tithe. God clearly says in this passage, when you fail to bring your whole tithe, you are stealing from me. As I said before, God doesn't need your money, but he does want an opportunity to reveal himself to you and to bless you. If we continue reading in the book of Malachi, this is really the only time where God says, put me to the test. He says, bring me your tithe, Test me in this, says the Lord, and see if I won't throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you'll not have enough room for it. I'll prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will be protected from plagues. Tithing gives God a chance to prove to you that he exists and he wants to bless you. It's one of the most amazing promises in the Bible. God actually offers you a challenge. He says, I dare you, start tithing and just watch what happens. He not only promises to bless you with more, but he also promises to protect what you already have. You won't find better insurance than that anywhere. Now, the last point I want to make is that giving is essential to spiritual growth. The Apostle Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians verse 8. He said, just as you grow in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in earnestness and love, see that you also grow in the grace of giving. Many Christians remain spiritual babies because they disobey God by not tithing. It's a really important point. If you want to grow in your walk with the Lord, take giving seriously. In the same way that as you mature as a Christian, you grow in your knowledge of God, you grow in your experience of God, you grow in your ability to love and care for others, you grow in your capacity to minister to others, to pray effectively, etc. In the same way, you should also grow in the grace of giving. That's what Paul is saying. However, the flip side is also true. If you refuse to obey God in the grace of giving, it will hinder your growth in your knowledge of God, your experience of God, your ability to love and care for others. You see, Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I want you to notice that what Jesus didn't say. He didn't say, for where your heart is, that is where your treasure will be. Now, he makes the point that we all have things that we treasure, and that is where your heart will be. We are made in the image of God. Part of being like God is that we treasure things. Just like God treasures his creation, it's good and proper for us to have treasures. However, the important question for us is, what do we treasure? Do we treasure the right things? For where your treasure is, that is where your heart will be. Are we keeping our eyes on Jesus? Have a look at what Paul wrote to the Philippians about his treasure. But whatever gain I had, I count it as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Paul's greatest treasure was knowing and being known by Christ. And I was walking along a beach after heavy rain. The rain and the tide had washed all the footprints away. The sand ahead of me was untouched, just like flat, just no footprints. It was kind of virgin sand. As I walked along, I did a little experiment. I focused on my feet. I noticed as I looked back that I wandered all over the place. But when I focused on the headland in the distance, I walked a straight line. It reminded me that we need to keep an eternal perspective. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus, because wherever your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Tithing keeps our eyes on Jesus, and it keeps us from looking too closely at the worries of this world. It keeps our eyes on eternal things. It keeps our eyes on our true treasure. In the verse just before this one, Jesus said, store up treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. How do you do that? Well, by investing your money in the kingdom of God. Most of the things you spend your money on will not even last for 10 years, much less for eternity. You store up treasure in heaven by investing in eternal things. And the final reason for tithing is because you cannot outgive God. There are more promises in the Bible connected to giving than any other subject. Giving unlocks the promises of God in your life. I don't understand how or why this happens. I just know that it does happen. When you give, God always gives back to you in greater degree. Jesus said, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. That's Luke 6. And the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, he said, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously. So I hope that has been helpful to you in explaining why we practice some of the things that we do. And while we see these habits as being really important in living as Jesus would have us live. Amen. May the Lord bless you today.